Good morning. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. We're going to get into reflecting on a dad's patience. So what we're going to do to start is, don't be scared, you're going to have to talk to your neighbor for a few seconds, and you're going to fill in the blank here. If we can get the PowerPoint slide up there, that would be great. And so here's what you're to talk to your neighbor about for 30, 40 seconds. A dad's patience is, fill in the blank. Okay, turn to your neighbor. A dad's patience is. All right. I hear some good conversation going on. I want to poll the crowd. What did we come up with? A dad's patience is?
Rewarding.
Endures forever. Shorter than your mother's. Forgiving.
A blessing.
What else? What do we got? Another one from over here.
Hard to achieve.
That's good.
Persevering.
Important. That's a good one to end on. Important. Oh, I heard one more.
Unconditional love.
So we are in our 2 Peter series, Patient Endurance, and it's Father's Day, so we're putting them together, a dad's patience. Now, I'm going to be referring to dads a lot for application sense, but if you're not a dad, patience applies to you. So in just like we filled in the blank, fill in the blank for your relationships. You're mentoring, say you're a youth leader, work, mom, grandma, grandpa, all these different roles that we play. So if it's not applying to you, fill in the blank towards yourself. We're going to reflect for all of us the importance of patience. What does my patience reflect to others? That's our big question this morning. What does my patience reflect to others? And if you want to take some notes, there's a sermon notes blank sheet in the bulletin. You can feel free. And while you got out the pen and paper, here's my first self-reflection question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how patient am I? Just, you can call out your answer, but you don't have to. On a scale of 1 to 10, yeah, you might need to cover that sheet up from your wife there or your kids. They might come under scrutiny. Okay, yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, what does my patience reflect? Or, yes. Or on a scale of 1 to 10, how patient am I? And would the person I brought this morning agree with that number? Here's the big central idea coming out of that Matthew text and supported by our 2 Peter text that we have had read to us. And it's that my patience is to reflect God's loving patience. This is the center of all we're talking about this morning. My patience is to reflect God's loving patience. In that version we read of Matthew 18, of the story that Jesus told, of here's the relationship between God and us. And he tells this story of the king collecting on his debts. And here's one of the servants. And the servant owes him millions of dollars. And he's going to have to pay up with every resource he has. And what does he ask the king? What does he ask? Does anyone remember what we read? Yes, mercy, be patient with me. That's what it says in the New Living have mercy on me. They're interconnected. For me, this story is a very profound story. It's a story of the gospel. It's what we believe as Christians. It's this profound engagement with God and with us. That in our relationship with the King, we need mercy. We need his patience. Let me grab my Bible here to read it. But as the servant is engaging with the King, reflecting this relationship with God, he says, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity or compassion for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. In our encounter with the living God, this is my story, it's your story. Your story is you've been forgiven an unrepayable debt out of God's patient, loving compassion. So what do you do with that? How is your life changed by that? Well, for the servant, he goes and he engages with somebody else who owes him a debt, much, much smaller. This is my story, engaging with others. He went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat, demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him, begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me, and I'll pay it." The very words out of his mouth before the King. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And this is the engagement of the human condition. Others see this going on, and they're very upset. They went to the King and told him everything that had happened. Then the King called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" This is our story. Before a holy God in his world, we sin, we break stuff, we break some of his sons and daughters' hearts and stuff we do to others. We lie to ourselves. We act as if God isn't God. And in his mercy and in his compassion, he paid the price on the cross for every single sin, that if we would come to him and accept his him being Savior and Lord of our lives, King, then we receive his grace. And it's a profound encounter. The gospel is an encounter with Jesus, and it's also the story of Jesus. And this is to inform our lives. It's to inform our patience. What does my patience reflect to others? Does it reflect God's loving patience with me? Our story in our Christian journey is to go, "You got that. You understood what I just said." You may go, "Oh, tell me something new." But do you live it? Sunday morning isn't always about coming up with something you've never heard of before. It's about being reminded of what's most central. Because I guarantee you, the living it out, that your patience in each and every relationship reflecting God's patience, your encounter with the King and his forgiveness is a lot harder. And that's why we need to be reminded of who Jesus is, what he's done for us. God reveals himself profoundly in human flesh and blood, Jesus the Son. He reveals himself profoundly through the Spirit. When we invite him to come into our lives, we're resourced in a way we've never been resourced. We become a temple of God. In this movement, in this epoch of history, God actually comes and places his dwelling in us as we bow the knee. And God profoundly reveals himself as a father. He's not male. He's not female. But what's it say in Genesis? In the image of, here, let me read it. Genesis 1, 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So through the female and male image, we get a sense of all of who God is. That's right. And then there's this profound engagement as Father. That this really captures how we come before him. A dad's role is one of the most profound roles in a son and daughter's lives. I read this amazing book that I just have been dwelling on this year, and it was written by this MD, Meg Meeker, and she was saying, I've got all these resources. I've got all the resources of the medical field, research, all the pills, all these years of schooling, but I cannot match, and it was specifically for daughters, I cannot match the power and effect of a dad's life, of a dad in a daughter's life. As I have three little girls, I'm listening. And it's this profound encounter that you as a father get to be an image bearer for our encounter with a heavenly Father. I think of my dad so often when I come to God. My dad was extremely patient and gracious. Remember, we were moving furniture one day, and I was a teen, we were moving again, and we were picking up the chinaware, and it was two-piece, and I just kind of slid it over, and it would scratch, and my dad was just like, don't do that, you're going to wreck it. And then my dad apologized, like, in the move or whatnot. He was just gracious. I deserved a rebuke. And then my buddy was like, is that all your dad does when he gets mad? And I'm so thankful. Like, he is this great model of a father who was very approachable. I recognize we don't all have that experience. But here's the thing, whether you're a dad or not, my patience is to reflect God's patience. Because just as we read in Genesis 1:27, we are image bearers for God Almighty here in this place. It is my Father's world, and he's placed us here to represent him. And that's why it makes so much sense that he came here to show us fully what it looks like to represent him through Jesus the Son. The only one who got a hole in one every time, right? It's this profound encounter. And as we've been going through 2 Peter, there's this profound piece on God's patience. 2 Peter 3, 8 to 9. You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. This is how we talk to each other in the church. Beloved, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Our lives go by so fast. You go like, oh, I can remember that as if it was yesterday. And it was so, it can be so many years distance. That's just a small sense of what it's like with God, except he can hold them all together. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. He's referring to Jesus' coming back to make all things right and to call his own to himself in glory and eternity. That's what's all in front of us in 2 Peter. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Live like it. Anticipate that he's coming. Live in such a way that you reflect him well. Live in such a way, as in 2 Peter 1:11, that you're keeping in mind that God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he talks about how God's given us everything that we need for living a godly life. And these promises enable us to share in his divine nature, escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, and in view of all these things, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And here's what we're to do. God's done it, and we're to do it. It's this joint partnership in patience. He says, in light of everything God's done, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, and patient endurance. That's why we've been focusing on patient endurance this series. Patience really gets at it. That's everyday life. Endurance is the long road. It's enduring pain. It's putting patience and endurance together. And sometimes parenting sure applies. Patient endurance. It's a long road. My kids are 8, 10, and 12. And there's this piece where it's just, I'm so involved every day. And as we've been reflecting on patience, we've been, we've said the thrust of this series, this tagline, is we've been using a bucket as the thrust of the series. Remember this bucket? Does anybody have a bucket on them by chance? Hands up. Somebody, how many hands? Stick them up. We got a lot of buckets on us. Some other people are like, what are you talking about? Anybody willing to show a bucket? Somebody show a bucket who's got one? Oh, in the back there. Some keychains. We handed out little buckets to stick on a keychain, or others applied it by making necklaces. Others put it on their rearview mirror. And here's the thrust. Our lives become what we put in our buckets. Our lives become what we put in our buckets. Fill your bucket with patience. So I'll confess, my main place where I've been applying this in my life, where it's been most applicable, has been as a dad. And it's this, I think about it, and I start thinking, fill the bucket with patience, Dave. Fill the bucket with patience. Fill it with patience. I heard someone in the foyer gave me another application. They start pre-pouring in for the following day. They're like, okay, I'm going to need patience. I'm filling the bucket with patience because tomorrow I'm going to need it. And if the sermon's online, that introductory sermon from 1 Peter 1, if you want to listen to it, we were inspired by this guy named Bob Goff, who took around a giant pail bucket around him, and people were asking if he had bladder problems or all sorts of things. And he's like, worse, I have a problem with patience. And the profound things he was learning. I am learning. I thought I was a patient person about 3 months ago. And then, I don't know, you guys have heard, I've publicly confessed in Freedom Session that those close around me said, of all the character defects, one of your top three defects is impatience. I'm like, oh, that's great, Lord. And now we're preaching on it. And I thought I was much more patient than I was. And God's word and Christian community has been revealing aspects of my character that needed to grow to reflect who God is and his love. And those gentle wounds of a friend are such gifts to me. They're such gifts to me. And dwelling on patience has been such a gift to me. And there's this piece where God profoundly says that of all the characteristics in our life, one of the most evident pieces of his work in your life is patience. Ah, and I've been amazed at you guys of how you've been on board to grow in patience. Like, I just thought nobody's going to want to reflect on this, let alone for 2 whole months. Patient endurance. At least you can hold on to that. I've got to patiently endure this sermon series. Ah, let's just make that a theme for all Dave's preaching. Patient endurance. Fill your buckets with patience. I shared about mine. How's it going? Are you filling your buckets with patience? Yeah? How's it? Like, is it helping? Is it applicable? Are some of you unconvinced? Takes a lot for some of us to like, oh yeah, you want to plant an idea there? I'd like to see you try. Well, the humbling thing is, as I stand up here and look to bring God's timeless, eternal word, is that it comes through me somehow, and this was somehow the encounter in the Holy Scriptures. As we turn to Him, He makes it more than we are, and we submit to the preaching of His word because we're not submitting to Dave, we're submitting to Him. I'm like you guys. I'm a representative here, and I'm to represent Him well. And that's why we're dwelling on patient endurance. As we've had on the slide here, patience is better than pride, Ecclesiastes 7:8. As I've been reading the scriptures this year, I've had patience set out in mind over the year even, because way back in the summer, you guys set me apart for a week to be reflecting on the sermon series for the year to start planning them, and I knew we were going to do patience. God just kind of shaped things at the last minute to go 2 Peter and patient endurance. But as I was reading through Ecclesiastes this year, I circled that one. Patience is better than pride. How often does it feel more gratifying to be angry than patient? You know, isn't that the contrast? Like, you spilled the milk again. Can't you get a hold of yourself, child? Honey, how could you do no? That is it. And pride is elevating ourselves above the other, isn't it? This isn't an equal standing. Like, how could you have done that? Fill in the blank. You. And what are you doing? You're not having a sense of any of your failures, any of your debts to God. You're just going, you're terrible. You're the worst. Like, I would rather hold on to my pride than patience right now. And it's that engagement around Ecclesiastes 7. There's other good things in there. You can read that more. Colossians 3. We have verses 1, 12, and 13 on the PowerPoint. But this whole engagement is very profound. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've bowed the knee and you've invited God into your life, you've been raised to new life with Christ. You have a new resource at work in your life. God Almighty. So here's what you're to do. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Live in light of eternity, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For here's your story. You died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And then Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. You will share in all His glory. This profound things to think about. We will share in His glory. So here's the thing. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. There's a lot there. You can read more. Impatience is one of those. Pride is another one. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Is now the time in your life to get rid of impatience? It's being revealed in my life. Now is the time to get rid of it. Hey, why does God want to bring 2 Peter and patient endurance before you as your church is going through this? In drawing you here for whatever reason this morning, God wants to work at this in you. The evidence of God at work in your life is patience, because that's who He is. And if you want to represent Him, if your life wants to point towards Him in these profound encounters, in raising kids, in continuing to be a parent, whether your kids are fully raised or not, in your workplace, on your street, if you want to reflect Him well, Peter, the apostle, says, add to your faith patient endurance. Why? Verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want. That's our vision, to see this town and the caribou and the world transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, because we've encountered Him. We just want to share that. We're all about sharing our faith. We're about equipping each other to do it. And we're about following Jesus. And for that, you're going to need a bucket. And one thing to focus on, because it's hard to do a lot of things at once for us, especially us dads, is adding patient endurance to our lives. Finishing that Colossians passage, here's the reality. You got a new nature. You're a new creation. Verse 10, put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Verse 12, since God chose you to be holy people, He loves. You must clothe yourselves. Put them on His clothes. Write it on your tag. Must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and... Oh, you guys are good. Thank you. And patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you. That's your story, right? I love that, hearing in the foyer, somebody pre-preparing, make allowance for each other's faults. Hey, you want to go in really prepared? Hey, I've done this before. Okay, family members, church family, at the beginning of the year, I already pre-forgave you for any way you hurt me. And then it's reminding myself of that. And then I have to ask forgiveness for ways that I've hurt you. That's part of it too. But how do you let this sink in? These practical applications. Think about a bucket. Pre-forgive. We make allowance for each other's faults, forgiving anyone who offends you, remembering the Lord forgave you. We have this profound encounter with God. That's our story as Christians, that's profound and different than any other story in this world. It's a story of grace. If you're going to go around and say, I should be more patient. I should be more patient. I'm supposed to reflect God's patience. I should be more patient. I should be more patient. You're trying to convince your will into acting a certain way, but when you get tired, it's not going to hold up very well. But if your heart has been transformed through this encounter with God, through this engagement with the story that I've been forgiven, that means your heart is transformed, that even when you get tired, your heart's still going to be tracking, I've been forgiven profoundly. I can have patience. And this is the journey of discipleship, of following Jesus, is we learn this story and it sinks into our lives more and more. We invite him in, we get a new power, and then it's to go out into every aspect of our lives, into our Father's world. You get a new identity in Christ. So if you, I just want to tell you, dads, if you've given your life to Christ and you're going around saying, I'm impatient, I should be more patient, you've got a new identity now. On your name tag, on your tag of your clothes, it says, patient, loving Father. This is who you are now. Speak that into your life. This is who you're becoming. Patient, loving Father. Like we said, for those who aren't fathers, this is, write this on your clothing tags. Patient. Patient, loving, fill in the blank. This is God's word over you. Last story Jesus told, last story for this morning. There's only one time that God is pictured in a hurry in the scriptures that I know of. And it's him bearing the image of Father, and it's Jesus the Son telling another story about his dad and his engagement with us. It's a story of a child who says, I've had enough. I just want to do things my way. I want to go explore the world. I want to go see all that the world has to offer. And in saying that, the son to the dad basically says, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. And profoundly, the dad, as a representing God, gives the inheritance to the son. And the son squanders it, and he gets beat up in life. He does things his way. And then he goes to repent. He goes to the dad. It's the story of the prodigal son. And he's rehearsing his line, knowing he's screwed up big time, but he needs a place to stay, so he's going back to dad. And he's rehearsing this line, Dad, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And that's so true. So many of us, we come through these doors sometimes, or you go to act in a Christian ministry and you're like, you have no idea. I'm not fit for this. I'm not fit to be called a son. Here's what God does. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran in a hurry to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son started rehearsing the lines, and he doesn't even really hear it. And he starts, and he goes, he tells the servants, he says, this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So let the party begin. That's also your story. Let's respond in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your world. So much of my life has been given to me. My life is yours. I give it back to you again today. I pray, Father, I intercede for those in our midst here or those listening online that they will know your profound, loving patience. It is incredible. It's incredible that you're not just patient with us, that you, when we're far, far away from you, you love and chase after us. And you long for us to give up the things that deaden our hearts, that deaden our relationships, that deaden others' hearts and relationships. Things like impatience, like giving way to outbursts that hurt and harm. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for how we lose sight of our story. Lord, teach us what our story is. You know, some of us don't even know the story of who you are and how an encounter with you changes everything. And living in your creation with the Creator is how we're made. And every encounter is given such meaning. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you that it's not just up to me to add patience, but it's that you are actually filling the bucket when we're not even looking. With your Spirit, you're adding these things into our lives. Moments like these, and as you walk through life with us, we praise you, God, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father. Amen.